I really enjoy driving cars and listening to music, and I've had the privilege of always having a job where I've had to commute. I've always had at least a 45-minute drive every morning and a ride home. I used to be a manager of stores where I had to travel for hours as part of every day, and I just truly enjoyed the driving time. I could turn up the music, I could think things through, and some people saw that as a chore. I always enjoyed it. And so I've always really liked driving. One of the bummers when you're driving, though, is the speed limit. There would be so much more joy, wouldn't there be, if there wasn't a speed limit?
Amen.
You know, it's the one thing that, you know, you always have to pay attention to, the speed limit. You know, I went to Germany one time. I was on a business trip, and we got to ride on the Autobahn. And I tell you what, I wasn't driving, but I wish I was. The guy just smiled and said, "This is my favorite road. You don't want to know why?" And I was like, "Oh, I know why." He just went, boom, and he let it go. And we were just sailing down the road. We happened to be in a really nice Mercedes, and it glided down the road, and cars were going backwards as we went by. I don't know how that happens, but we were just moving down the road. But there was this joy and this freedom that I felt that was beyond what I normally enjoyed in my drive. And today, I want to talk about forgiveness in a way that we understand that God is giving us a chance to drive on the Autobahn. He's giving us the chance to live and love without a speed limit, without a love limit. And it's wrapped up in the thing that we're talking about today, and we're talking about forgiveness. And it's an amazing, wonderful thing. It's also going to be a really hard thing. For some of us, we've been really hurt by somebody. For some of us, it was personal and it was violent and something that we can never forget. For some of us here, we've hurt people to different degrees, some really, really bad. And we can never forget what we've done. Others we've maybe forgotten about. But forgiveness is something that is offered to us through our Heavenly Father, but it's also something that He requires us to offer others. So we're going to unpackage this today. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about some different things. You know, we talked about peace, and then we talked about hope. And last week, we talked about love. And in love, we talked about this, that love is a gift. And that real love creates a we. It moves you from thinking of yourself to thinking of you in the context of others. That's what real love is. Love that is deep comes from sacrifice, right? And so love without sacrifice does not go very deep. But in a love, and when you honor somebody else, when you sacrifice for somebody else, that is a deep love. And the last thing we talked about last week was this. Forgiveness is the key to lasting love. So today, we're talking about forgiveness. Today, we're going to read a story from the book of John. In this story, somebody was caught in an act that was against the law. This person was guilty. This person deserved punishment. And so I wonder sometimes, you know, what is our reaction when we see somebody commit a crime, do a deed that hurts others, and know that they deserve punishment? Do we line up on that? Do we see that? Do we make sure that that happens? If we've been hurt in that crime, do we want them to suffer as much as we've suffered so that the price is paid? There's some tough things here. And if we're honest, we need to give as much forgiveness as we ask from others. Let's pray before we get started. Good morning, Jesus. We're talking about forgiveness today. We're talking about how we get to experience your love fully. Your love without limits. How can we love each other without limits? How can we feel that joy and that freedom? And it's wrapped up in forgiveness. And God, I'm going to talk about some things today that might trigger remembrances of pain, hurt that's a part of who we are. And how can we, Lord, give that to you? And Lord, how can you forgive us for the things that we've done? Truly forgive us. Help us understand forgiveness today, Lord. Help us understand you today, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 8, I'll start with verses 2 through 4. And we'll kind of go through this story together. Again, this is written by John. And what he's trying to do is reveal to us who Christ is through what he's seen and what he's experienced, what he's heard, and what he understands now because of the things that Jesus did in his presence. And so he's going to share with us a story. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Can you imagine how she was feeling? Can you step inside those sandals? I'm thinking she's wearing sandals. Don't know, but I'm in those sandals. And so there she is. It's early in the morning. They've brought her before Jesus. She knows she's been caught. She knows she's been guilty. And here she is. If this man says, "Uphold the law," it means that this very morning she'll be sentenced to die. Can you imagine what she's feeling? But as I read this, some of us are reading this, and we see some injustice here, right? What we see is he brought the woman before Jesus. But where is the man? Did anybody notice that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of injustice going on here. And so what I want to look at today as we're looking at things is, you know, I'm a coach, right? And so I always see things in the form of there's somebody on offense and somebody on defense. There's somebody trying to accomplish a good goal and somebody trying to prevent it from happening. And I want to submit to you that our goal, that God's goal, that the touchdown for us is a heart that's free to fully love because it's fully opened and available to God. And that can only happen through forgiveness, real forgiveness. You know, Jesus came to live and to teach us things, right? But ultimately, what we understand is Jesus came so that when he died, and he knew he was going to die, that his blood, his life, his sacrifice would allow us to be fully forgiven. And not just a temporary forgiven. Not just, okay, here's a sacrifice, it's done, you sin again, another sacrifice. No, what he did was for yesterday's junk, for the stuff that we're going to be inventive and creative with today, and then tomorrow's junk too. His love and his forgiveness because of his life and what he did is that goal, is that touchdown, and he wants us to fully experience that. That's his goal. Now, there's somebody on defense. There's another tactic going on that uses deceit, that uses condemnation, that uses judgment, uses all kinds of things to prevent us from getting into that full communion with what Jesus did for us. It continues here in John chapter 8, we're in verses 5 and 6 now. "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" they asked Jesus. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. So here's a twist. Here's one of the tactics. "Such women," is what they said the law says. And we know that's not the case. The man and the woman were both equally responsible. They've twisted the truth. So pay attention to what they do. Here are the accusers twisting the truth. Now, what's going on here is this is the eighth day that Jesus has been coming into town to be with the people. They had a festival that went for 7 days, and this is the eighth day. And this was considered the day of rest. And so this day would have been like a Sabbath day. And one of the rules was you can't write. It was one of the rules, you can't write. The only way you're able to write is if you wrote in dust. And that's a law that was known amongst the people that were really religious, really, really paid attention to all the fine details. The fine print was on this day of rest, you're not allowed to write unless you're doing a temporary thing in the dust. And so Jesus kneels down and he shows them he knows the law. He knows it full well. He's not about breaking the law. And so he's writing in the dust. He's writing in the dust. And they're getting anxious, right? They want him to do something, but he just writes in the dust. I think he's pretty cool and stuff like that. So here we are. The story continues. Verses 7 through 9. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard him began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. You see, I think that Jesus used a tactic here, right? I think he used something different. He said, "Let any one of you who is without sin first be the first to throw a stone at her." By asking them to throw the stone, he was turning the question back on them. They were the ones that had to condemn. They were the ones that had to do the act that they were asking him to do. But the thing is, he also caused them to have to reflect on themselves. Self-reflection caused them to walk away. They knew that they couldn't do it. So that's a Jesus tactic, and that's a good thing. It continued. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Okay, now, what is this woman feeling? You mean I'm not gonna die today? You mean I'm forgiven? Then I want you to read this differently than I think that we might. When he says, "Neither do I condemn you," and then follows it with, "Go now and leave your life of sin," can you imagine now the circumstances she was in prior to this, the circumstances that she was in, how she felt about herself in the way that allowed her to get caught up in this trap in the first place, right? I believe that she was set up, that they had this man approach her, and she was in a state where she considered herself probably that's the way life is going to be. That if I want any affection, any attention, any love, I've got to give of myself. And I've done it before. I'm really, you know, I really, this is what I deserve. This is my life. Because of all the bad that I've done, this is just the way it's going to be for me. So what's one more time? And now here she is, forgiven. Now here she is, that's wiped clean. Listen, you are not condemned. Could you hear it differently in a tender voice that says, "Go now. You don't have to live that way anymore. Go now. Those sins, that burden, that's gone. Be free from that. Live a life that doesn't have that sin. You don't have to anymore." You know, I think one of the tactics of the devil, and that's what we're talking about here when we say there's a bad coach out there and he's a really bad coach. One of the tactics he first employed was way back in the garden. And it was around the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. Because what happened, as soon as they had that knowledge, as soon as they took the apple, they knew that they had sinned. They knew that they had shame. And then what did they do? When you have toddlers in the house and it gets quiet, is that a good thing? No. When you have little ones in the house and it's happy and there's noise and suddenly it goes shh, really quiet, you know you're walking into something. You know that there's going to be a mess. And you know they're going to stand there in their guilt with that sheepish grin on their face. I don't know how that happened. You know? But right away in the garden with Adam and Eve, as soon as they understood what they had done, they understood that they had guilt and shame, and they hid from God. I'll come back to that later on, but I think that sometimes when we're doing things and we're not living up to what we think we should with to be close with God, what do? We get silent. We get quiet. We quit talking to God. We try to think that if we're silent in what we're doing, He won't notice us. Yeah. He just won't see us, and it's going to be okay. And so I prefer God's tactics, and that is to not condemn. So today, what is real forgiveness? That's what we're talking about. What is real forgiveness? So what if I told you that real hope and real love come through real forgiveness? What if forgiveness is set before us to set us free, to take off the limits that we put on ourselves? And that forgiveness is the one thing that we all need. That's not rocket science. I'm not going to give you something today. I don't think that you'll say, I didn't know that before. But what I want to do today is highlight the things that we know and bring it to the forefront. Allow you to get into the end zone. So we're going to do this in a couple ways. What is forgiveness built on? How do John's words reveal forgiveness? And can we know true forgiveness? I think that's what we want to do. When you're guilty and condemned, and you've done something, and there you are, picture yourself, you've just done something. You didn't plan on doing it. You didn't mean to do this. But you make a choice, and that choice led you to this choice. And then suddenly you were over here, and suddenly you were over there, and suddenly you did this thing that you couldn't imagine that you would have done. And in the process, somebody that you care about has been hurt. Somebody that you love dearly is now hurting. They call you on it. They're upset. They're angry. You've done this thing to me. I can no longer be with you. I can't be around you. I can't talk to you. Just get away. Just go away. You've been condemned. Can you feel hope in that environment? Can you feel love in that environment? Can you see a way through this that doesn't include or involve forgiveness? Is there a way to get past this without forgiveness? And I would say to you that what we need is forgiveness. Have you ever been that person that's received the pain, that's given the sentence, listen, you just aren't safe for me. Listen, the things that you do hurt me. Listen, I can't forgive you. Just go away. Have you ever had to say those things? It's a hard place to be on either side of that. And I say that in times in our life, we're on both sides of the deal. Both sides of the deal where we need forgiveness or we have to give forgiveness. And it's hard both ways sometimes. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. Sometimes we can't forgive others. This is not just hit a switch and we're good. It's much deeper than that. So what is forgiveness? Let me give you the world's definition of forgiveness. It's a noun. the action or process of forgiving or being forgiven. And here's a sentence that they give. She is quick to ask forgiveness when she has overstepped the line. Some synonyms are pardon, absolution, exoneration, clemency, mercy, reprieve, amnesty. And so I think it's interesting that the way that they word their sentence, because what they don't say, and what I think that their sentence gives, she is quick to ask forgiveness when she has overstepped the line. I think that fits the unknown or unsaid description that I hear all the time, is that forgiveness is just a crutch. Forgiveness is just a crutch. People do what they want to do, and then they say the prayer, and life goes on. All you Christians use forgiveness for is a crutch. It's nothing more than that. And so you feel better about yourself. It's just a crutch. Now, they didn't put that in the dictionary, but their description, their sentence, that's a crutch. When she has overstepped the line, she's going to just step back and say, I can ask for forgiveness. I saw a whole news segment the other day on how people are taught, and we're all taught, that it's much easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. To press the line beyond what's permissible, because you can always ask for forgiveness. And so it's a crutch. But that understanding of forgiveness, whose tactic is that? Who's keeping you from experiencing full forgiveness by understanding forgiveness is just a crutch? I'm telling you, that's not Jesus' version of forgiveness. Real forgiveness is deep. Real sorrow and repentance that comes when you're asking for that kind of forgiveness is honest, is soul-bearing, it's heartbreaking, it's heart-wrenching, it's laying yourself out in front of somebody saying, listen, I don't deserve your love, I don't deserve your forgiveness, I really made a mistake. I didn't mean to, but I did. Can you forgive me? I don't want to do it again. And when people bring that to us, and they don't want to do it again, and you feel that they're really hurting, that's an easy one, right? You say, sure, I'll forgive you. But what happens in the hard times when somebody's hurt you? Not once, maybe not even twice, maybe a dozen times. What happens when your boss really cuts you down? What happens when your spouse or a sibling? What happens when a pastor does something that hurts? And they go right on living as though they did nothing wrong. And if they're confronted, they don't acknowledge it. And they're like, they brush it off. Oh, that's no big deal. You just misunderstood. It's okay. It'll be all right. Can you forgive then? If they don't acknowledge it, if they see no wrong in it, they won't even agree that you've been hurt in this. That's a hard thing to forgive, to offer a pardon, to offer absolution, to give clemency, mercy, amnesty. Is that kind of forgiveness what we can do? Let me read this verse from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. And this is the Jesus tactic. This is the Jesus coaching us. You know, today, I'm an assistant coach. I love coaching, but I'm not the coach in this today. This is Jesus coaching us down the field, getting us in the end zone, getting us behind the steering wheel on the Autobahn. All right? This is him coaching us. He is faithful and just. How is he just? Because there's a penalty for sin. The bad team, they want you to pay for it, or they want the other person to pay for it. Their justice is you or the offending person paying for it. That's their justice. But God's justice is different in that he paid for it. He took it on himself. What you did, he took on himself. Oh, we love that part, right? What you did, he takes, and he takes the weight off of us. Hey, what they did, he takes. What they did, he takes. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard. How do we know that they're going to learn the lesson they need to learn? How do we know that God's got this? I want them to understand what they did. I don't want them to do this to this person or that person. They really need to suffer to learn. Whose tactic is that? Who already suffered in our place, in their place? Faithfulness and justice are his. And that's what forgiveness needs to be built on. So how do John's words reveal forgiveness to us? You know, we've been looking at the book that was written by John. He was telling us the things that he'd seen and learned from Jesus. What he's seen and what he understands, he experienced. Let me read this verse again from chapter 8 where we were at before, verse 7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." You see, they were looking for judgment. They wanted condemnation for this woman. The law says what the punishment is, and she is guilty. But Jesus knows what they really need. I'm talking about the accusers. He's loving on the woman, but I'm telling you what, he's loving on the accusers too. Jesus knew that they really needed forgiveness. What they really needed to see is hope and love in the middle of what they're doing. So what does he cause them to do? Self-examine first. And understand that they aren't righteous on their own. So the bad team's tactics are this. This is not so you can be holy and righteous, but so that you can feel holy and self-righteous. If you stand in accusation of somebody, if you hold them accountable to the law, this is for you to feel better, not for them to feel better. In James, remember the verse that talked about anger and that God's will is not accomplished in anger? Anger does not accomplish the will of God. And so you, in your anger, in your condemnation, does that move you towards the goal of freedom in the forgiveness of Christ? No, it doesn't. It's a hindrance. But the world teaches that that's the tool, that that's the way we accomplish this, right? To condemn and judge and punish. But the good tactics, the things that God wants us to do that allow you to experience joy, involves forgiveness. And that's the key. So John is revealing Jesus' heart. Jesus didn't force them to confess their sin and beg for forgiveness. He just said, please, just look in the mirror, and when you see your need, I'll be faithful and just, and I'll forgive you. And so there's mercy involved in the way that Jesus gets people to the point. He wants us to discover where we're at. He already knows it. We're already guilty. We've already broken the law. And he knows what we deserve. But he gives us what we don't. So can we know true forgiveness? I'm convinced the answer is yes. That it's not just a crutch, but forgiveness is life-changing. I believe we can be transformed thoroughly. The whole of me, W-H-O-L-E, the whole of me can remove the holes in me. And forgiveness is that thing, that noun, that's not a crutch, but it's an offer of love. John 3:17, my favorite verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What does this mean? On the bad team over here, right? What you hear is that you're guilty. You'll always be guilty. The things that you do and say, your motives, your thoughts, your thinking, your desires, all the things you've done, all these things, you're trapped in it. It's who you are. It's what you are. It's where you're going to be. Don't even try. It's not worth it. And you know what? How many have heard that voice inside your own head? How many have struggled? How many have struggled? And I'm preaching to me here today. Don't think I'm preaching to you guys. We're in this boat together, right? We're in this boat together. Hurt, shame, anger. It's a burden that's too heavy to carry. It just is too heavy to carry. But let me give you a slice of the gospel here, okay? A little piece of what Jesus has done for us. You see, the man that I know, the man that John is talking about, he did come to teach us. He did come to show us things. But there's some real hope in understanding that when he says you're forgiven, you can really be forgiven. That the forgiveness is not temporary, that the forgiveness is not just like, yeah, we're okay, it's okay. You go do your stuff, I'll do my stuff. It's not that kind of forgiveness. It's not shallow. It's not just so we can get along. It's a forgiveness where he says he's going to separate all that we've done, our sin, as far as the east is from the west. And for some of us, that feels like it's only this far. But let me tell you, as far as the east is from the west is a very long way away. Wouldn't it be great if all the bad things you had done could be erased and not thought of anymore and wiped clean, and that you actually had freedom from it? You don't have to put it on, carry it around. The things that we've done, that is what Jesus offered. His sole purpose was to die for us so that the penalty we deserved for our sin could be paid once and for all. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. That is why I stand here today. There's a why that you have to understand. It's not because I've read about it, because I have. It's not because I saw a movie about it, because I did. It's not because I've seen other people experience, because I have. It's because I've felt it. The weight of guilt, the weight of shame, the letdown, the silence I experienced between me and God, because not because he went silent, but because I did. And the change when I said, okay, God, okay, I get it. I'm sorry. I mean, I really get it, God. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? And I can tell you, personally, as I stand here today, that forgiveness changed me. I can tell you that feeling of being on a swing when you're a kid and you're just floating through the air, that was me. That feeling when you're driving in the perfect car on the perfect highway that's glass smooth and it's a day off for all the police around so you can just drive. You know, that's what I'm talking about, that feeling of forgiveness. And he offers that. In John 8, verses 10 and 11, let me read this for you again. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin, because I've taken that weight, because you're no longer that person, because the reason you're doing these things, I've removed. You don't have to live that way. The kind of love that you are looking for, you can find it in me." And that's what forgiveness is all about. So, True North, where do we point ourselves? What are we trying to get to today? I can tell you that the root word in forgiveness is, ready for this? forgive. How's that? Brilliant, right? Forgiveness, right in the middle of it. Forgive. Big capital letters, bold letters. Forgive. Right? Here's the root. Here's the thing I talked about last week. This might be a barrier between you and the life you want to be living with God. And I'm talking about this. We must forgive others. And let me read this verse. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says this. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. They're linked together. You can read that as a commandment, right? Do this. If you don't do this, you won't do that. But let me tell you, in the way that I hear Jesus talking to that woman, is the way I read this. I want you to be free. I want you to experience my full forgiveness. And if you are not forgiving somebody else, there's anger in your heart. You are trying to be me. You are trying to punish and train and save them from themselves. You alone are trying to be the person that restores them to rightness. But I'm telling you, please don't carry that weight. Forgive them so I can fully forgive you. Because even if I forgive you and you're carrying that weight, you're not going to experience what we need. You're going to be standing at the 2-yard line, and forgiveness is right there. And I've given you the ball, and I want you to carry it across the line, but you're just going to keep running into the linebacker. His last name is unforgiveness. And he's going to block you every time. He's big, and he's ugly, and he's just, you can't get around him unless you do. Unless you do. And in Alpha this week, we heard talk about Corrie ten Boom, who was in a concentration camp in Germany. And her family was brutalized. And she lost her mom and her sister in a concentration camp. And she survived. And she had strong faith. And she was known for a book. And in that book, she talked about forgiveness and real forgiveness and how freeing it was. And it was well received. And in fact, I read the book, and it's an amazing, amazing book about the power of forgiveness and what it can do for you. But she tells the story of giving a talk on the book and being in a group of people and talking about the book, and it was all good until a man walked up to her. It was the face of the guard that had brutalized her sister and her mother and her. It was the man who was responsible for their death. The nightmare that she had lived was standing in front of her. And he said, I've become a Christian. My life is different, but can you forgive me? That would mean so much. And I can tell you what she shared was that she was screaming on the inside. There's no way she could forgive this man. What he had done, the harm he had done, and there was no way that she could physically do it. And so what did she say? She says, I knew that I had to mechanically do it. I knew that I was supposed to do it. He had put his hand out, and so she did all she could do. She said, I just lifted my hand. I just went through the motion and prayed, God, you have to do this because I can't. And she says, as her hands come together, that this wave, this power coursed through their touch, through their hands. And she cried out, I forgive you. I fully forgive you. And they wept. And it was powerful and it was moving for her. Can you imagine the weight that she had been carrying? Can you imagine how, even though she'd been forgiven, she didn't even know she'd still been carrying this? And God did an amazing, amazing thing. You see, forgiving others is really important. What happens if they keep doing it? Well, let me read you from Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Is there a limit? Can I cut him off? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Which is an awful lot to count. And so I've never gotten that many with a friend. You know, I might get past a dozen, then I give up. But you know, that's a lot of times. Basically saying, just keep forgiving. Just keep forgiving. And that's hard, but until we realize he's offering that to us. Don't you understand that's what he's saying here? Is that you're talking about you and your sin and the fact that you keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I will be faithful and I will be just. You be the same way. Because there's something I want you to know here. What that person needs that you're holding forgiveness out on, do they need your correction? Do they need you to tell them how bad they are and how much they deserve your wrath? Will that move them any closer to where they need to be in a relationship with God? Or do they need your love? Do they need your understanding? Do they need your forgiveness? Do they need you to look at yourself first and come to them in kindness? Do they need your love and forgiveness? Will that move them where you want them to be more than your condemnation will move them to where you want them to be? If you truly care and you want them to be healed and whole, which is the better way? Condemnation, punishment, hold them accountable, or love them and forgive them and care for them in the way that Christ did? I think we know the answer to that, and I wish it was easier. I wish it was easier. They don't need correction. They need love. I'm not supposed to wipe like that. Hold on. Way over here are tissues. I'm sorry, I used my sleeve. I didn't mean to. And I did it in front of everybody. Those of you on the podcast, I wiped my nose on my sleeve. Please forgive me. Thank you. Don't condemn me now. All right. Whew. All right. Worship team, why don't you guys head on up because we're going to have a song here. What does this all mean? I believe that real hope and love come through forgiveness. Forgiveness cleanses us and sets us free. And forgiveness is what we all need for your sake and for their sake. So you can fully experience the forgiveness of God, we must fully forgive others. So what do we have to think about this week? Who am I not loving rightly because I'm not forgiving? Who am I not loving rightly because I'm not forgiving? And do I live like I've been forgiven? Do you carry it around? Or do you let God's love be the love that you have for you? You've got to give it out, but you've also got to receive it. That's what forgiveness is. As they sing their last song, what I'd love to offer today, if, you know, during this song, you want some prayer, you want to just offer something to God. Just get it off your chest. Ask for real forgiveness. Maybe offer real forgiveness. If you want some prayer, I'd love it if during this song, if we could have some deacons and the diaconate and the elders, maybe go to the back corners, not up in front, it'll be loud with the music, but if you want to go to the back, and if you want some prayer, you're welcome to go back and have some prayer time with the elders, with the diaconate. If you want prayer time with you and God, go ahead, stay seated and bow and pray. But please, I want you to get into the end zone today. I don't want the linebacker unforgiveness in your way. The coach has given you a play. My job is to help you understand it. And here's the deal. He is patient, he is loving, and he is just. He's just waiting for you to ask. Thank you. We got to share in communion today. We got to think about and remember what Christ did for us, the love that Jesus has for us and how it was displayed. But it's more than that. It's a real, tangible love offering for your very soul. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're sorry we forget sometimes what true forgiveness is. Help us, Lord, to understand it, to receive it, and to offer it. Let us be a church that forgives. Let us love the people in our community, not with what we have, but with what you offer, and that is forgiveness and relationship. Let us do the touchdown dance in the end zone with you and them. Please bless these people today and bless this church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.